Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time!
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Great to be with you guys. Welcome in Tuesday night. We get the World Series starting tonight. Get some baseball talk for you coming up here. Will Leach is going to join me in about 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll talk about Ollie Marmol. We'll talk about the Cardinals moving forward and, you know, all of the things we've been talking about for the last 24 hours. We'll just talk about them with Will Leach from MLB.com coming up in a few minutes. We'll get some hockey for you next hour. We'll get an update on what's going on with the Blues and Ryan O'Reilly. According to Craig Berube, he's going to be out for at least 10 days. He's on the COVID list. And you know, there are different kind of ways you can end up on the COVID list, but, typically, if I remember this correctly, that, if you're symptomatic, and have tested positive, then you have to miss at least 10 days. I think that's the way it works in the NHL. So probably going to be that week and a half at least for Ryan O'Reilly to get back, but I'll play you what Craig Berube said about it earlier today at practice, coming up next hour. And we'll also talk about the best start in franchise history. They've never been 5-0-0 to start a season before. So Blues off to a great start. And yeah, they got to overcome not having O'Reilly for a little while, but they've already overcome not having Buchnevich for a couple of games, and Saad didn't play last night, or didn't play the two games last week and then Saturday night. And of course, this team continues to play well. I mean, yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, you're 5-0, but there are things you could clean up too. So we'll talk a bit about the Blues next hour. We're going to talk about the Blackhawks next hour. Boy, is that whole situation awful and ugly. Well, the hammer dropped today after the investigation into the sexual assault allegations that were levied against a former video coach. And, well, let's just say a lot of people in power knew what happened. They were told about it, and they sat on it. And that's why you'll see, we'll talk about the penalties here, but we'll get to that next hour as well. My buddy Chris Ronji is going to jump in next hour a little bit too. Ronji is going to be hosting At Your Service tonight after Sports Open Line, so he'll hang out and we'll talk a little bit with him next hour. So let's start with a little bit more on Ollie Marmol. We touched on a lot of the angles yesterday when it comes to front office influence and all of that. I mean, I think people... My theory on this, I was talking about it with a couple people around the station today, but my theory on why people get so mad about what they think of as front office interference just comes down to the fact that a lot of these people do not like Mo. So anything that he touches, they're going to criticize. And again, I don't really mind. I criticize individual people when things go wrong, and I praise when things go right. I mean, that's pretty much my standard operating procedure. When things are going well and you're doing things well, you get credit for that. And when things are not going well and decisions or contracts or whatever don't go well, well, that's what it is. And that's how we talk about it. The performance dictates the coverage as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I think that's the simplest way to do it. But I do think there's so much bias against, which is odd to me, bias against a front office that has been better than most of them in Major League Baseball. I mean, again, you want to look at the last 10 years, you've got, you know, top two or three in the league in wins. If you want to look at the last 20 years, you're second in the league in wins. I mean, like, I know that you don't have a million World Series, but I explained last night how difficult it is to actually win World Series, right? I mean, the Cardinals have the second most World Series wins in franchise history, and they have 11 of them in 121 seasons, 122 seasons. I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, like, historically speaking, they happen every 11 years on average, but we know it doesn't work that way because you had a couple of them close together in the 60s. You had, obviously, the couple close together, 06 and 2011. I mean, it typically will go in that way. But I just don't think people talk enough about how hard that actually is. I mean, the Dodgers have been in the playoffs 10 straight years, and they've had the highest payroll in baseball most of that time, and they have one World Series win. And, you know, people make fun of them. I mean, like, people in L.A. are killing the Dodgers right now. Killing them. They won 106 games. They went to Game 6 of the National League Championship Series following a year where they won the World Series, and they're getting killed from it. Dave Roberts is getting killed. The front office is getting killed. I'm like, are you kidding me? I really don't understand where this irrationality comes from. That being good is no longer considered good. It's considered a failure. Like, again, I've said this a couple times. I won't get back into the rant that I went on last night. But, I mean, failure is Pittsburgh. Failure is Colorado. Failure is Baltimore. You know, you're not failing if you make the playoffs. Now, again, I loved how Ali Marmol put it last night, or yesterday, I should say, saying that, you know, championships are the goal. Anything less is disappointing. Perfect. Yep. You can be disappointed in an outcome and want to improve it without resorting to failure, or this means people don't know how to do their jobs. What I want to get to a little later on this hour, something I'm going to talk about with Will Leach here in a few minutes, too. I'm going to get a little bit more into, now that we have the new manager in place, and we've heard his thoughts on a few things, I'm going to talk later on about the things that I would like to see done differently than they were under Mike Schilt. Because I don't think you're going to see a massive sea change, right? I don't think you're going to see the Cardinals go, like, completely above and beyond what they've done before. I would imagine you're not going to see much difference at all when it comes to their emphasis on defense and base running and things along those lines. You might see a difference in terms of lineups. That's something that Marmol referred to. That's, you know, we talk about, like, how the orders go. I want to get into that later, though. What things would I like to see be done differently? I'll get to that later. I'm going to ask Will Leach about that coming up in a little bit as well. And, of course, he'll be joining me when we come back here on KMOX.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Open Line here on KMOX, and we are continuing to talk about, shockingly continuing to talk about, the Cardinals' new manager. Obviously, Ali Marmol was named the manager yesterday. We've been talking about it ever since, and I'm happy to be doing that right now with Will Leach, of course, columnist for MLB.com, author. I don't know, how many other outlets, Will, have you written for here lately? I know you're also the co-host of the Seeing Red podcast with our mutual friend Bernie Miklas. Hope you're doing well, man. Everything all right?
Yeah, great. I don't want to say everywhere I write for because I feel like the IRS might hear. I don't want all the tax people to know everything.
So. Well, that's why I stopped at MLB.com. Don't have to get everybody involved. Thanks for having me, of course. Oh, thank you for doing it. So really, really, I know I told you this out there, but I really enjoyed your piece on the Marmol hire yesterday at MLB.com. I think you addressed some really interesting questions. And look, there are questions anytime somebody's getting a job that they haven't had before. I like Ali Marmol. I like what I know about him. He seemed to handle himself really well yesterday. But obviously, managing the Cardinals isn't an easy thing.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job, particularly, I mean, you know, one thing we have definitely not seen from him is how he handles the media, right? Like,
right.
A pretty big job, part of the job, you know. I know that, like, fans think that, oh, who cares what they handle the media? But don't think of it as, like, talking at press conference. Think of it as being the public face of the organization, which is basically, you know, John Mozeliak occasionally will talk and the players will occasionally talk. But really, the guy that we're all looking for on the post-game show every game is the manager. And that's who we're listening to talk to. And I thought it was a good sign that he seemed good, but more to the point, he seemed comfortable. And
yes.
I think that's actually pretty important because I think we've seen Schilt was pretty good. I think Matheny struggled with that a little bit in a way that ultimately kind of hurt him. That's one of those things you just need to have a basic competence at, and he seems to have that. But there are so many questions, and I don't think any of those questions aren't necessarily Marmol's fault, right?
Right, right.
I think
exactly.
That kind of the position that he's in is, you know, I think that John Mozeliak tried to, like, hint at being a little bit more forthcoming about the reasons for the change at the beginning of that press conference, but only barely and only a little.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of questions that, I don't know, it's been a week and a half now. We may never actually find out the answers to some of these questions. And maybe it's as straightforward as the Cardinals said it was, but certainly I don't think there's any question that a lot of fans, and I think media people as well, are still not entirely sure what went down, which is fine. Like, the Cardinals have every right to keep things as quiet as they want to, but I don't know if it necessarily does Oliver Marmol any favors, which is to say that I think he has a higher bar for entry now than he might if we, like, oh, well, Mike Schilt went to take a job with this team, or they had an issue over this specific thing. We understand that now, and so, of course, they would go with Marmol. We don't know what that is.
Right.
And so, therefore, all the questions that we kind of have about that kind of situation and how shocking it was that we still don't have answers, unfortunately and unfairly to Marmol, they tend to kind of land on him, which is to say every time that we kind of talk about Marmol and the things he's facing, when I wrote that piece, I kind of had a struggle with this. You didn't want to make every question be like, okay, well, how does he compare to Schilt? And
right.
It's hard because they're obviously close. They're obviously tight, like Schilt was a proponent of him. But certainly if there was a change made, and we still don't entirely know why the change was made, obviously they saw something in Marmol that would be more beneficial and an improvement on that. I just don't know what the bad things necessarily were in a lot of ways. And so it puts Marmol under a tighter microscope. But I thought he did a really good job opening up, and clearly the players like him. Schilt liked him. Mo liked him. I think that he's made a good impression. It bothers me that the Cardinals manager is now a decade younger than me. I could do without that, personally. But certainly, I think that he has the benefit of the doubt, which is a good start. But I also think the margin for error is thinner than maybe it necessarily had to be.
That's a good point. All right, so let me ask you, I think, a direct question, one I haven't gotten into on the air yet, and we'll be doing tonight, obviously, in this conversation and afterwards as well. In what areas do you hope he's different than Schilt? What would you like to see him do differently than what Mike Schilt did? Because obviously Mike had a lot of strengths, and they had 3.5 really good years under him, but maybe didn't max out the potential. Maybe a way to look at it. What would you like to see different?
You know, I do think that there was a resistance, particularly after he had a little bit of success, to really, listen, I think what was a surprise to a lot of national analysts watching the Cardinals, particularly in the postseason, was how Schilt really kind of resembled an old-time manager, right? He was really kind of indistinguishable from a Joe Torre, which is great. Joe Torre was great, but certainly the way that that baseball is managed now and the way baseball players are kind of deployed, he definitely had more of an old-school mindset, and that's fine if that's what you want. I'm not sure the Cardinals wanted that, and I think that obviously there was some sort of disconnect between the front office and Schilt. You'd like to see that close. You'd like to see everyone on the same page. You know, I think that's something that I think actually may, more than the Cardinals losing, may have been really what got Mike Matheny in trouble, was there was a clear, and he had an issue that Schilt never had in Matheny. I think he kind of lost the clubhouse a little bit. But I do think that Matheny and the front office by the end were very obviously not on the right page in a way that was even more obvious than it was with Schilt. You want to see a streamlined organization, right? When you talk about, say, a Kevin Cash for the Rays, we can argue about, the way he manages the team, but there's no question whatsoever that when Cash makes a decision, the Rays, it's a very Rays decision. It's a very understanding of what they're doing. They're all on the same page. No one's like, oh, there's Cash going rogue from the Rays organization again. Everyone kind of understands that. I just would like a clearer idea of what that is. And I think, I would say another thing that I, as a fan, that I think we'd like to maybe see some Marmol, one of the frustrating things, I don't want September to erase a lot of the frustrations that I think fans had with the 2021 team. And I think one of the frustrations too was, we watched this team every day. We knew how much they were struggling. We knew how frustrating they were. And every time Schilt was like, that's fine. We got to support our guys. We're going to be fine. It was all, I think my colleague Bernie Miklas called it happy talk.
Yes.
As he would always kind of say. And it wasn't so much that he was too positive. Positive is fine. There's nothing wrong with positive. But it certainly felt like there was a lack of forthrightness, I think, speaking to the fans and speaking to the media in that way. Listen, if they're struggling, they're struggling. I actually kind of loved at the end of the year Adam Wainwright talking about this team was very difficult to watch a lot of this year, and some of the worst baseball I, as a Cardinal, have seen in my time as a Cardinal. I don't like to hear that because it was true, but I also think that you appreciate that from someone like Wainwright, who you've seen how it can be done. No one looks at Adam Wainwright and says he's being disloyal to the Cardinals by criticizing them.
Right.
He's speaking the truth. And I think people like to hear the truth about their teams. And so I think that's something that he can benefit as well. Clearly the players like him. And I guess your strike zone is finding a combination of being popular with the players, good with the media, and strategically flexible in a way that speaks to the strengths of your team rather than your veteran presence and so on. If you hit those three things, you've got something good, but it's pretty hard to hit those three things for anyone in baseball, let alone someone who is, of course, just starting out their first manager job.
Absolutely. So one of the things I'm looking at with this, Will, and it's interesting because I actually have the same criticism of how the front office operates in season, okay? I think they do a great job in the offseason addressing needs. I mean, they added Nolan Arenado, they've added Paul Goldschmidt, they got Marcelo Ozuna. I think they've done a really nice job in the offseason. It doesn't always work, but, they've signed free agents that were areas of need. They didn't all work out, but they did it. They've signed the free agent outfielder and Fowler when they needed it. They've made those trades. What I think is my complaint, and it was my complaint both about how the manager ran the roster and about how the front office managed the roster, is they're just a little too slow to make changes when things aren't right. And, you know, with a manager, it's sticking with a guy that's not hitting for too long. Like, you don't get 4 weeks. Yeah. You know, if you have a bad 2 weeks and you're Paul Goldschmidt, all right, you're Paul Goldschmidt. You're going to figure it out. But if you're Paul DeJong, maybe you don't get a month to figure it out. And, you know, from the team's perspective, you know, they did kind of the same thing, which is interesting because one's gone and obviously the other part's still here.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I wonder if that's something. The ideal explanation really for this move is even the organization itself that's trying to modernize a little bit, because I think that's something that I think has been institutionally true a long time over several managers. They like to believe in their guys, right? Like, they like to believe in their guys. They like to think guys are going to come around. Once guys get in that chosen club, and this year I think DeJong was the best example of that, but in the past, you saw this from an Alan Craig.
Oh, and Bader, right?
Or a Matt Carpenter, even, in a lot of ways, where they stuck with guys who had produced before, and therefore it was assumed they just needed to get right and get their guys right. And I think that's kind of, on one hand, I think there is some positivity that I think that's kind of the Cardinals, that's a motif, right? Like, they believe in the guys, they take care of their guys, and that's great, but, like, that's not really how most of baseball goes. For the record, most of baseball doesn't have 20 consecutive, all these consecutive winning seasons. So I think there's value in the approach to somewhat, but I think that's the strike zone is being able to be not less sentimental, but certainly, you know, I mean, it's funny. One of the things that was really impressive about Schilt when he first took over the Cardinals was he benched Carpenter, right? That was one of the hardest things. It was hard to imagine benching Carpenter when he was really struggling that year. And you're like, okay, that's the obvious move. But it's also kind of the un-Cardinals move, because they like to, like, keep those guys and keep their guys and keep them going. And then he seemed to kind of lose that as they went along. I think that's something that you'd like to see. Not so much to, like, forget these veterans, away with them, out with you. It's more that just, like, you want to be able to say, okay, that's not working. There have been reports that the Cardinals brass pushed for Sosa to play quicker than Schilt was willing to play him over DeJong. Mm-hmm. That is also the sort of thing that leaks out after a firing happened to justify it, but no one really heard anything about while the season was going on. So, you know, you wonder about stuff. It's easy to say that now because Sosa performed and DeJong didn't, but is that necessarily what they were saying at the time? We won't know. But I think, but that's what you're looking for. DeJong is a great example of it. Just the struggles that he had. At a certain point, you had to do something. But to be fair, we could have said the same thing about Bader and O'Neill on several occasions, and letting them play through it ultimately let them turn into kind of the terrific players they are now. So it's complicated, and I think the key thing is making sure you want to have everyone on that same page. And the fact is, you know, I thought Matheny and those guys were on the same page. I thought Schill was on those guys on the same page. Now apparently it's going to be Marmol and those guys on the same page, because I think this puts an extra pressure. We talked about pressure on Marmol, but I don't think there's any question. This has to put pressure on the front office. Like, now, okay, this guy better be better. Marmol better make it work. And, you know, I think the slowness to address changes that you talked about, sure, they came back in September and it was exciting. It was a blast. I had a great time. I felt like it justified a lot of the things they did. They still, if they'd have been more aggressive in June, might have had a chance to catch the Brewers rather than having to play a one-game playoff against the Dodgers. So I think that's got to be the priority, is like, you got to win this division. This is a winnable division. Really kind of moving forward now. Like, the Cardinals should be the class of this division. You want to see, make sure everyone is aggressive about making that happen and not kind of slow on the uptick.
Will Leach from MLB.com is our guest here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're going to pick up the conversation in a couple of minutes. Hang tight, Will. You can find Will on Twitter if you're looking to do that, at William F. Leach. That's L-E-I-T-C-H. I'm sure you know that, but just in case you didn't, at William F. Leach. We're going to pick it back up, and I want to talk about old school versus new school, and that's where we'll go with Will Leach next up here on KMOX.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Picking back up with our conversation with Will Leach. You can find Will on Twitter at William F. Leach. Of course, columnist for MLB.com. He also co-hosts the Seeing Red podcast with our friend Bernie Miklas as well. Will, let's turn our attention to kind of the fight of our times in Major League Baseball, the old school versus the new school. And I've been asking a lot of people this, so I'm going to ask you too. Why do you think there's so much opposition amongst baseball fans to the quote-unquote modern way of the front office having more influence? You know, the analytics department, the scouting department, the executives on the baseball side having more influence in how the game is managed from the dugout. I mean, we know this is happening everywhere. We know that the most successful teams are doing it. Why do you think there's pushback on that?
I don't know. This is kind of a baseball thing, right? Everybody loves baseball the most from the time when they fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain level, like, I'm always going to feel like, oh, well, the best version of baseball was Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee hitting triples into the gap and stealing bases and diving in Whitey Herzog, shuffling the cards at the winter meetings. And all the stories we were told when we were young. And I get it. That was exciting. But, like, you know, baseball, like everything else, has to evolve. And I think a very good argument for the case of maybe that kind of old thinking being a way to fall behind would be Tony La Russa. And I think that there's this notion that, like, the White Sox, like, Tony La Russa came and everyone spent all this time being very concerned. Oh, how is he going to get along with these players? How is he going to get along with analysts? He's a guy that's just going to run the table himself and do that. And, like, yes, there were some issues earlier with players showing up a player and all the old school baseball stuff. But, like, management-wise and roster management-wise and who was in charge of putting together that roster, La Russa got it. Like, La Russa did not have a problem with the front office this year. He's going to be back next year, and he's going to be managing the way that you have to manage in baseball now. Does he have a little bit more autonomy than, say, a Kevin Cash? Maybe a little bit. He's Tony La Russa. He's a hard guy to say no to sometimes.
Yeah. Well, he's also, friends with the owner.
Yeah, that helps. But I also think that, like, if La Russa really were this, nope, we're going to manage like it's 1984 again, the way that everyone was worried he was, that wouldn't have worked this year. That would have not worked, and the players wouldn't have responded to it. The front office wouldn't have responded to it. And although they wouldn't have won games. You know, I mean, I think that we all love this idea. When you grow up with that idea, you think it. But, you know, imagine, like, in anyone's office now, if the office that you worked in, someone came in and said, okay, I know you guys have been doing it this way, but this is how we did it in 1986. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do telegrams, and we're going to run those through, and then also all phone calls outside of the city are going to cost you $2 every 15 minutes. Like, at a certain level, like, you know, I mean, these things do evolve, and it doesn't mean that managers don't have power. It doesn't mean they can't have some influence. I would argue managers are just as important as they always were.
They are, yeah.
They're just important in a different way, and I think that the idea that this, like, dictator of a it's kind of creeping Bob Knightism,
yeah,
right? The idea that, like, all of this is, like, all the success of a team is a result of the genius and pig-headedness of a great man or so on. And that's not really how those teams were back then. And now we know that's not how these teams are made. So, I mean, look at the teams. Look at Snitker, the manager of the Braves tonight. He's a baseball lifer. He's been around since the 70s and 80s. He's been through every generation. If he went in there and said, sorry, this is how he did it in 1981. This is how we're doing it now. Not only does he not get a job, his team loses. Like, that's just how the game goes now. And I think smart managers, smart people within Major League Baseball understand that. People, they want knowledge. The thing about good baseball people is they want knowledge. They don't want to just, like, shut it off and say, I've learned everything I've already have. If you do that, that's a great way to get shut out of the game.
And also, you know, when it comes to the way the game is run, The teams that are run this way with the heavy analytics and heavy front office influence on decisions, they also happen to be the best teams in baseball right now. They also have, you know, it's Tampa Bay, it's Boston, it's Houston, it's certainly San Francisco and Los Angeles. And that's what I don't understand about the pushback. Don't you want to be more like those teams?
Certainly bizarre to see fans of teams not in the playoffs say, well, look at the Rays. They blew it. They used the new, like, hey, they're in the play. Where are you right now?
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly right. And to me, that's what the Dodgers have truly weaponized. I know they got hit with so many injuries this year and still almost made it, considering how many injuries they got hit with. But, you know, that they have every kind of advantage of new thinking, and also using the good old-fashioned way of spending a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not a good way to do it. So, like, once you're able to combine those two things, like, you know, it is just like any other industry. In anything else, if you get stuck in the old ways, you're going to fall behind. And I might prefer the old ways. Believe you me, I still have my old typewriter that I wrote my old movie reviews on in 1992. Like, I still have it, but I don't expect it to actually have any relevance the way I do my job now. And I think that's the way this is supposed to work.
Yeah, and again, it's not about getting rid of one thing, because, look, the manager, you nailed it. When you said that the manager's job is every bit as important as it used to be, it's just different. They have the hardest job of all because they've got to manage the human beings. You know, if you're running numbers, you know, you got computers that do that. You know, running numbers is actually pretty simple. Scouting, I wouldn't say is easy, but it's easier. But when you're managing human beings that all have goals and they have different personalities and they all want to play, nobody wants to ride the pine. Everybody wants to play. Managing the human beings is the hardest part of that job. And I think they need this extra time that used to be all about them taking all the notes themselves and all that to do that hard part to make it work.
I mean, there's a reason John Mozeliak did not name himself manager of the Cardinals. Like the idea that, like, oh, the front office is just do everything is just not true, because you need someone that has respect in the dugout. You need someone who's able to deal with the personnel and to deal with the players and to put them in the best position to win. You can have the front office picking the players, going through some of the strategies, but the idea that strategy and lineup is like the only thing a manager does, I think, is a devalue to what the position actually is.
Yeah, for sure. And also, you know, let's be honest, you're also coaching your coaches. I mean, that's one of the top jobs for a head coach. That's one thing that makes Bill Belichick so good at his job. You notice how all of his assistants end up getting jobs elsewhere. Well, they don't all seem to do as well without him.
Exactly. Everyone's trying to beat Nick Saban from all of his assistants who are just right behind Nick Saban.
Well, yeah, you got one of them there not too far down the road from where you are, right? He's doing okay, isn't he?
Well, he hadn't beat him yet.
No, that's true. He hasn't beaten Saban yet. That'll be the next test. Well, Will, you're the best, man. I love talking ball with you. Looking forward to picking up your stuff in the off season, and, of course, hope that you enjoy the World Series. All I hope for, really, is the Braves win and it goes 6 or 7. You know, not that I'm demanding too much.
Listen, considering some of the labor stuff coming this offseason, I'm going to appreciate every minute of baseball that I have right now, because I have some fears. I think there's reason to be afraid. So enjoy, soak in all this baseball you can, just in case it's a little longer than normal to watch the next one.
Well, I'm gonna lay a seed of optimism for a second, Will. I don't think we're going to lose any of next season. I think we may lose some offseason, but I think the fact that the two sides combined have probably lost $8-9 billion because of COVID, probably going to be a good thing to push them towards not missing more money in 2022.
I hope you're right. Right now, I just want them to, like, right now, I don't even know that they know what they disagree with each other about yet. So we need to get them in a room together at first, at the very least.
Yes, let's do that. Will, thank you so much, buddy. Enjoy the World Series. We'll definitely talk to you soon.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Will Leach, at William F. Leach on Twitter. I'll look forward to having some more conversations with him, of course, during the offseason. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to some Cardinals, and I want to talk about the things that I would like to see be a little different. And I think Mike Schilt did a really good job overall. I mean, it's hard to say that he did. I mean, if you said he did a bad job, you're exaggerating. I mean, there are things, like every manager has, that you'd like to see done differently. I mean, look, we talked about these things with Tony La Russa. If we can do that, it's only fair that we can talk about them moving from Mike Schilt to Ollie Marmol. So what things would we like to see be a little different than they were with Mike Schilt? We'll talk about that next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so just take a few minutes here, top of this hour. We will definitely be talking about this stuff throughout the course of the offseason. Clearly, the front office made a change in manager. The Cardinals front office made a change in manager because there are some things they would like to see done differently. I mean, I think, you know, that's pretty clear. You don't make a change if you're not looking for change. You know, you don't change people to keep things the same way. You know, we've heard all about the philosophical differences and all that. That was partly the hitting coach thing that Mo indirectly acknowledged in the press conference originally. There's all this stuff. But it does mean, you know, that there's some things that could change. And to give Arlie Marmol some credit, he talked about that yesterday at the press conference, and he was asked about lineups, right? And he said, you know, the idea, and I'm paraphrasing, not quoting here, but I'm paraphrasing, that the idea is that you're trying to put the best lineup out there on that day. And it may not be the same one day after day. And he said something along the lines of, hey, one day you might be batting first, another day you might be batting eighth. But, you know, the idea is to try to use all the information we have to find the best matchups. And I'd say that's one of the things on my list is, you know, barring the spots where you have a truly known commodity, right? You're not going to play matchups with Goldie. You're not going to play matchups with Arenado. You know, you're not going to play that with O'Neill if he's hitting well. You're not going to play that with Carlson if he's hitting well. But that doesn't mean you can't with Harrison Bader in a time where he's struggling. Because even this year, you look at Bader had a really good year, right? Well, he had one full month where he didn't hit at all. And that may be a time where you play matchups. And maybe that's where a large Nootbaar gets some more games against right-handed pitching. And I think that's what I'd like to see is more flexibility with the lineups, maximizing matchups with, you know, changing the order. So, for example, let's talk about Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman was the leadoff hitter for most of the year for the Cardinals. Well, I mean, he's a low on-base percentage guy. You know, his on-base percentage is like 20 points below the league average. That's not an ideal player to hit at the top of the order. But I'll say this. Tommy Edman batting leadoff against left-handed pitching is a brilliant idea because he pounds left-handed pitching and his batting average goes up, which means the on-base percentage goes up. So, again, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe some days Edman should bat first. Maybe other days it should be eighth or ninth, depending on, you know, if or when the DH comes in, which everybody seems to expect. And I thought that was really cool. That was one of the things that I thought about after the change was announced. Like, that's something I would like to see. You know, hey, look, Harrison Bader against a lefty. Maybe he slides up to the top of the order. You know, again, he hits lefties better than righties, although this year he was better against righties than he had been in the past. But that's the kind of stuff that can, because the idea here is, what do you want? You want the best matchups as many times through. So if you have a left-handed starting pitcher out there, and if it's a traditional starter, you want to get the guys that hit lefties the best, the most at-bats in that game, right? Especially the early part of the game. So if you're going to get a lefty out there, doesn't it make sense to have Bader up there at the top where he might get three at-bats against that guy instead of two? Or two at-bats against that guy instead of one, depending on how long he lasts? So I think that was an interesting answer, and it was one of the things on my list of things I'd like to see. I don't think the lineup has to be the same, although there are going to be core guys that are definitely going to be the same. I would say I'd also like to see less traditional usage in the bullpen. And by that I mean, let's just use the best relievers in the best spot. So if you're in the seventh inning in a game-changing situation, or let's say you're in the seventh inning and the 2-3-4 hitters are coming up in a one-run game. I think the best reliever should be there. Not your seventh-inning guy, not a matchup guy. That's where your best reliever goes because that's where the game is in danger. And yeah, it might seem a little counterintuitive, and you can say, well, what if you get to the ninth and those guys come back up? Well, I better have two guys that can get those people out. And I don't mean that you specifically have to do that every time, but I like the idea of being flexible there. And not just, okay, this is my seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guy, or, hey, these guys pitch every time we're ahead. And now some of this is going to have to do with, you know, having more options out there too, right? I mean, you know, whether it's the guys that are coming back pitching better, you know, like Cody Whitley becoming a more established pitcher, and he looked really good down the stretch, did a great job in September. And so the more options you have, the better. But I would say that, you know, being a little less traditional in that regard would be helpful. I mean, look at how the Rays do it, man. The Rays are the best in baseball at just matching up. And they're like, all right, we don't have the same closer all the time. But we've got six guys that we're comfortable with getting the last three outs, depending on matchups and circumstance. And ideally, that would be something that they could put together. And yeah, that's a combination of roster composition and roster management. But again, I'm talking about the manager side here. So I'm going to talk about the angle would be him, which is less traditional bullpen usage and a little bit more aggressive even earlier when there's trouble so that games don't fall the other way. You don't have a one or two run lead turn into a deficit and then, well, you're not going to use your closer anyway in that case. So what's the point of saving him? And then the other thing to me, and it's what I brought up with Will Leach, it's to adjust more quickly when something's not working. So again, I don't mean taking a player like Paul Goldschmidt or Nolan Arenado and moving them down the order or getting them out of the lineup if they have a few rough weeks. I mean, those guys have track records. But if it's someone, for example, again, like Bader, who does show streakiness, when he's going well, let him ride, man. When he gets into that funk where it's not working, maybe that's the time you do play the matchups a little bit and, you know, slide someone else in there against tough right-handers. And then when Bader starts to go again, get him back out there more often. And it's not just him. I think Bader's less of an issue now, but we could use the Paul DeJong situation as the example this year. Right? You know, I know that the team as a whole has signed him to a long-term contract because they believe in his abilities, but he really hasn't hit consistently at all for about two calendar years now. I mean, this goes back to mid-2019 when the struggles started, and then they continued in 2020, and they continued in 2021. Maybe don't wait 2 months to play Edmundo Sosa. And I say these things as criticisms about Schilt. These are things we talked about with Mike Matheny. Heck, guys, these are things we talked about with Tony La Russa at times in the past. I mean, Tony had this same issue for a while there with my friend Chris Duncan, where Dunk was hurt and not performing, and they kept running him out there. And at one point, Mo had to trade Dunk so that he wouldn't keep getting run out there. So every manager has that. I would like to see a little less of that with Ollie Marmol. Stick around. We're going to talk a little Blues after the top of the hour. Some good and some concerning things next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.